welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, we have had an exciting week as a church, and I know many of you didn't get the opportunity to get out to the prayer and fasting. That's okay, because we're coming into that's a season that the church, the body of Christ, is coming into, where this is restored to our lives in a regular format, individually and corporately, prayer and fasting, because of the wonderful things that God has planned that does for us. He's designed it that way. But we had a wonderful week, a great week. Put up your hands if you were here for any of the nights, because again, we're just going to recap over some of what God is doing and move forward again this morning, because it is such an exciting, encouraging season that we are moving into. And this is the world, by the way. So the world, the season that the world has been in and that you have been in and that as a church we have been in, the whole season is changing. And so that's why, because we're coming into a good season, we can get excited and start to get expectant and start to rejoice. Amen. Because we have come out of a hard season. Now, how many can relate to that? We've come out of a dry, desert season. Almost, you could look back on the last decade, because we're moving actually from one decade to a new decade, from one season to a new season. The Bible speaks very often in seven-year periods. Joseph had those dreams of 7 years, and that seven-year runs right through Scripture. So when we're talking about seasons, it is not unusual. In fact, it is very biblical that those seasons can last a decade. They can last 7 years. They can even last 40 years. Seasons. So again, as we just encourage you, think of your life right now, because the Holy Spirit is wanting to refresh you. He's wanting to do a new thing in all of us. And that is the season we're coming into. Amen? So how many can say amen, because we're coming into a good season out of dryness. Amen? And in that season is attached so many things. So just to recap, the season we're coming into, it's going to be a season of the harvest. We're coming into a time where God is preparing us. And this is the shifting time, October time. This is a time of transition. And we're coming into a time where God is preparing and awakening the church with a trumpet call to prepare the church. And so there's a few words I just want to call out to you. And these are going to be the themes that the Lord is preparing the church for these end times. Repentance. But it's going to be joyful repentance. So it's not, again, don't think of repentance as a difficult, horrible word. Actually, it's a returning to the Lord, a realignment of the Lord, because God needs to get us back into understanding the season and the time that we are in, so that He can bring about this new thing. And that is the theme of repentance. So remember, that word repentance just basically means that we're going this way, and it means turn around, because you should be going that way. And that's what that word repentance means. Remember, turning around. And that word has then many forms attached to it. Sometimes it has weeping and affliction and praying and fasting. And every time that you see the word humbling in the Bible, every time from right the way through, it involves that repentant season, which includes with it the vehicle that God has given us to propel us into that season is prayer with fasting. So that's why we fast, because it enables us to hear God and to be disconnected, remember, from the word, from the world. So remember, prayer is all about connecting to God and speaking forth and the prophetic coming into our lives. But prayer without fasting means that our prayers are going to hit a certain ceiling and fall short, as good as that may be. And the reason why those prayers won't be breakthrough level prayers for you, the reason why as a church and as an individual you haven't maybe seen breakthrough in certain areas of your life, the very stronghold areas of your life. It's because prayer on its own, because of our natural fallen state, is not enough. Because in trying to pray, we are still connected to those things. We're connected to the world. And it's like this giant elastic band that's on us. And all the time, you've got a heart to pray, and our heart wants God, but our flesh wants the world. Isn't that right? Every one of you right now this morning, your heart wants the things of the Spirit, but your flesh wars against it. It doesn't want it. And that's where the warfare is. So that's what fasting does. We're trying to run towards God, but we're doing this because we're attached by this giant elastic band to those things that only allow us to get here, but no further. So the breakthrough comes whenever fasting, what fasting does is it cuts the elastic band and we propel forward in prayer. Amen. And the reason fasting does that, remember, is because all of those desires come out of the flesh. And all of those desires ultimately are fed by the flesh. And what feeds the flesh is the food and our natural lifestyles and all of those things. So when you and I simply say, right, I am taking authority over my flesh, and therefore, as God has shown me how to do it, I'm going to fast. I'm going to say no to food. Those desire centers start to weaken. And it takes a period of time. It's hard. It's not nice. Especially the first day. Especially the first time you think, okay, I think I should fast. And suddenly you're thinking of Christmas dinner and all of these themes, these pictures come up to stop you getting that first step. But God promises you that in the moment that you set your heart to fast, your answer has already been dispatched in heaven. Amen. What a wonderful promise. That's with prayer and fasting, as it was with Daniel. When the angel came to Daniel after 3 weeks, and there's something about three. Oh, I've said to you that just I've known in my life that there's something about 3 days, 3 months, 3 weeks, 3 years, etc. Because there's a delay to the answer of our prayers. But the answer comes immediately you set your heart to pray and fast. But it may not manifest until the third day or the third week. Third week it was with Daniel, because the power of the prince of Persia was withholding that. But when the angel comes, he says, Daniel, in the moment that you set your heart to pray and fast, the answer was dispatched. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's why already, refreshing is on its way for our church. Refreshing is on its way for your life, because in the moment that we responded to the trumpet call and we heard what the Spirit of God is saying about moving into this new season that He wants, it's already on its way. So therefore, even if you don't feel it right now, that's okay. It's on its way. Stay now in faith, believing, expectant. Stay in a state of prayer and fasting individually. Let that be restored to your life. And again, we really believe this is going to be a time, a season that's characterized right across the world by solemn assemblies, by churches coming and praying and fasting in regularity, by even nations coming again and praying and fasting. Because it's all about what God is bringing. God is bringing a time of that we've never seen the like of it before, of restoration. How many want that restoration? How many need that restoration? And that's what the Lord is bringing. And this is the season that we're about to move into in 2020. The Hebrew calendar has already shifted. And remember when God just spoke that word to us, and very clearly, I just put up Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 to 10, Graham. This is where, again, the prophetic timeline was powerfully spoken. And since then, the evidence of that. Personally, again, I'm just now listening again to the prophetic right across the world. And it's, you know what? It is all confirming the same thing. We need to understand the times and the seasons that we're living in. Amen. And Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 to 10, it says that when God was speaking through Moses, when the children of Israel were about to come into the promised land, He said, be strong and of good courage, because the Lord goes before you. And He says He is bringing you in to inherit now. It's a time of coming in to inherit all of the promises that we've been waiting for. All of the promises that have been delayed. All of the promises that the enemy has stolen. But the good thing is, when the enemy steals, there's a time period attached to it. and we resist the devil, and then he has to flee. Amen? And there's a time period. He cannot steal forever from your life. He has a season within which he also must work. Because God is the one that's ordained the seasons. God is sovereign. Amen? Hallelujah. The enemy is defeated. He literally is like a pawn on God's chessboard. And the things that he does in your life, remember that it may be for a season, but wait for it. It will surely come to pass because the enemy's time will be up. And again, God is bringing in a new season. And that's what he was doing. And the culminating verse was verse 10. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time, hallelujah, at the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles. And we looked up then, oh God, when is the Feast of Tabernacles? Because that varies every year. And this year, the Feast of Tabernacles was in October, right at the time of our prayer and fasting last week, the Feast of Tabernacles. That is the time where God is saying, this is a shifting time. That is a time when the 7 years of the enemy's destruction is up. Amen? Hallelujah. You need to praise God for that. The enemy has done a work of destruction and accusation and dryness and stealing through these last years. And that is the period of time that even as a church we've come through, as individuals we've come through, as families we've come through, as businesses we've come through, every way. And we're still waiting for the appointed time and the promise. And it is coming. It is now. Hallelujah. This is the appointed time, October. And since that word came, then just confirmation coming from everywhere. Through the word, through our prayer and fasting time. And God speaking to our hearts. Those that have an ear, let them hear. And the Jewish New Year, again, this year, different to other years. Do you know when it started? The old year came to an end at the very end of September, and it started the new season, 1st of October. What about that? Amen. So we're already in now, that new season. We're already in. We've transferred in the Jewish calendar from the year 5779 to 5780. And that word 80, do you know it now speaks? 79 was the I. So almost like what God is saying is that he's bringing us out of the season where we were able to see it, but we hadn't manifested in our lives yet. And almost that builds up, almost you could think that could build up disappointment because hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you can see it, and it's almost like, why is it not happening yet, God? Because I can see your promises. I hear your promises. We know this is your plan for our lives, yet it hasn't manifested in my life yet. And we've come through that season of the wilderness when the children of Israel went, they were delivered out of Egypt, but before they hit their promised land, there was that wilderness season where they knew they could hear the words of Moses. They heard the prophetic, and God had given the word, but they hadn't come into the inheritance of it yet. Amen. How many lives are like that? And we are now looking and expecting, because this is a shifting season, coming into the 5780. So out of the season of the eye comes to the season now of the mouth. And in the Hebrew calendar, that word 80 speaks of, that word 8 speaks of the mouth. It's the letter pay. In the Hebrew alphabet, it's the 17th letter of the alphabet. And Hebrew letters, as you probably know, they have a phonetic sound. Each one has a different sound. Each one has a different numerical value, all of which has spiritual significance. And each one has a different pictogram, all of which has spiritual significance. And 8, this time of 80 speaks of the mouth. In other words, when God speaks, it comes into being. So what we have seen and heard is about now to come into manifestation. Amen? Hallelujah. When God formed the worlds, he had that image and that vision in his heart. But when he came to form it, he spoke it into being. This is a time of the prophetic voice now coming because the prophetic sees it and speaks it into being. The time of the eye and the mouth functioning together. Amen. And that is what is being spoken right over the world. Hallelujah. And this word, this letter pay, signifying the time that we're in on the Hebrew calendar. It also is connected to two other letters, Yad and Kaf. Yad is the smallest of the Hebrew letters. And that word again speaks of that God will not allow one, the smallest of his promises not to come to pass. So if you've been waiting for a time for these things to be fulfilled, praying for loved ones, praying for breakthrough, praying for healing in your body, praying for finance, whatever the area is, and if God has spoken to your heart and give you a promise of which you've stood, not even the smallest element of that promise will fall to the ground. Amen? Hallelujah. And that smallest of the Hebrew letters also speaks of humility. It's the smallest of them all. But again, as the Hebrews know, they understand that from that letter, which is connected to the time period, it's humbling. It's humility. Amen? So again, that season of just repenting, turning around to God, humbling ourselves by whatever means, of which fasting is the great key. Prayer with fasting, the great key to helping you come into that place of humility in order to receive. And calf speaks of the hand that this is led us. So the hand and the mouth are connected to the flow of the physical anointing, the manifestation from the spiritual into the natural. God speaks it into being. The elders lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So we're coming now into a season. 2020 is the season where this new decade starts of restoration to the church. Hallelujah. And all of God's promises coming to pass. That's what it is. And you've waited for it. You've waited for it. And surely it's coming to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. So it speaks of the mouth. We have to be careful now of the mouth. And this pictogram speaks of an open mouth, but also there's an element of it where it's a closed mouth. So in other words, if you have nothing good to say, we're going to see in a minute that linked to the dryness is the spirit of accusation. Linked to the season we've come out of is the season of accusation. We're going to turn to James chapter 5 quickly. We'll go through that and we'll make reference back to Isaiah 58 and Joel chapter 2, these great fasting scriptures of where we believe we are now at in these end times. Time is short. The Lord is coming soon. Amen. And these things that have been delayed in your life have to come to pass. So if they're going to come to pass, when is it going to be? It's now. Amen. Again, what shook my realization again of how late in the day we are. The Lord is coming soon. And we know this. How many have grown up in this church and we've heard this for so many years to the point where nearly it become casual to us that the Lord is coming soon. The rapture of the church is nigh. It's near. Do we have days, weeks, months, years? Do we have that time left? Only the Lord knows. Because the Bible says, no man knows the day or the hour. But you know what we will know? What is it? We know the season. And that's why we've got to be like the sons of Issachar. That the Bible talks about the sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, 32. Says they were a tribe of Israel that knew the seasons and the times. And it says that David and all throughout history, before Israel did anything, they consulted the sons of Issachar to know what to do in the season. Because if we're in summertime and you do the things of wintertime, it's foolish. Imagine walking through summertime in scorching heat with a huge duffel coat on and lighting the fire and staying inside. It's a time to go outside. It's a time to be plowing the fields and enjoying different things. Similarly, in summertime, wouldn't it be foolish to go out in a pair of shorts and nothing else and go into your garden and start to plant crops and all that kind of stuff when it's winter and the snow's there? Wouldn't that be foolish? Because it's the wrong season and we've got to understand the seasons. And the season that we're coming into now is the season that God is wakening up the church with a trumpet call to get us ready for the return of Christ, to get us ready for the soon coming rapture of the church. And then all of the things that we've read of, the dread of the nations, will fully come to pass. And then will be the return of the Lord Jesus to judge the nations. And we really believe that what God is doing now is He's interrupting the agenda of the enemy, which is to bring us to Armageddon because God has commanded it. You know what? The enemy can't do anything else but bring us to Armageddon because the Lord has spoken and He is a pawn in the hand of the Lord. And we see all of the nations going on that journey. We see Russia rising up now. We see Iran rising up. We see Turkey. We see China. We see all of these nations in Syria and all of these nations that are spoken of in the end days. And we see Israel becoming surrounded by them. But God, in this season, praise the Lord, He is not going to allow us to go through that fullness of the tribulation. I don't believe that. But God is going to interrupt by this season the plans of the enemy and bring a time of refreshing right in the middle of it, even to those very nations, so that the harvest, the end harvest, will be brought in. And this is all about the harvest. What this season, and the reason that God is bringing us and God is refreshing us and giving us rain, is for the harvest. So think of it, it's not even a season for the restoration just for you to be you. God is not restoring health. God is not restoring the years that the locust has eaten. God is not restoring wealth. God is not restoring any promise to your life just for you to be you. God is restoring it for the end time harvest, for the stirring up of your giftings to be used in the body of Christ. It is a time to awake and be used and focused on the harvest because the Lord is coming soon. Amen. So therefore, as we read these scriptures, think of these words. I'm going to give you the R's to make it easy. Think of these words. This is what is going to be happening in terms of the agenda. Repentance leading to refreshing and restoration, leading to revival, leading to rapture. Amen? And I believe that witnesses to us all. Those words, that is the theme of this season, beginning with repentance, that God is bringing us into. Repentance, restoration and refreshing, revival, hallelujah, souls, harvest, backsliders restored, so that the Lord can rapture from the four corners of the earth His elect and His church. Then the tribulation in its fullness, then the return of Christ to judge the nations. Amen. We need to thank God for the season He's bringing us into, that season of refreshing. James chapter 5, hallelujah. Here again we see represented this season. We see represented Isaiah 58 and Joel chapter 2. We see represented Moses. We see represented so many things. Therefore, verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because now we're entering into that season of the preparation for the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. It's all about waiting for the harvest. And what brings the harvest is wait patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. Now, the early and latter rain is so significant. The Bible speaks of the early and latter rain all the way through Scripture. And we always see it connected with the harvest. Deuteronomy 11 speaks about it. Connected with the harvest. Hallelujah. Let's see it in Joel, this great fasting Scripture again, all connected to the early and latter rain. And it says in verse 23, that be glad, children of Zion. That's the word this morning. It's a good, refreshing word. Rejoice, be glad. We're about to move forward. It's a time to move forward. It's a time not to restrict. We've come out of a season of restriction. We have come out of a season where it's been almost like we've been bound on four sides and we can't break out of it. But we're coming into a season of enlargement now. This is the season that we've spoken of enlargement. This is the time. And it says, rejoice, be glad, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given faithfully the former rain And he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. So we see all through these scriptures, these prophetic passages, it all speaks of the former and the latter rain. I want to speak in terms of, I'll just read out some more while we're here. Former and the latter rain. Jeremiah chapter 5. Verse 24 says, Do they not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and the latter rain, in its season. Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld the good from you. And we've come through a season. We come through a season, and this is a season just for our understanding. Not for gone condemnation, but learning. Let's learn from the season that we're coming out of. It has been our own words. It has been a spirit of accusation. It has been hardness of heart that has stopped the former and the latter rain, as the Bible tells us in Jeremiah. And therefore, because the rains haven't come yet, which signifies also the Holy Spirit, the harvest hasn't produced, the ground hasn't produced. It's dry land. But God now is saying that this is the time to wait patiently for it, for the former and the latter rain. And it says in Joel, that word Joel, where we read out the scripture of the former and latter rain. Interestingly, when I read that this week and we talked about October being the month, it said that that the former, he gives us the former and the latter rain. The former rain, these two rains actually speak very strongly of physical rains that fall in Israel at specific times, and they're always for the purpose of the harvest. If these rains don't fall, there's no harvest. So we need the former and the latter rains. And the former rain, it says here that he's given us the former rain, verse 23, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. Another scripture says, for your vindication. And this shifting time is a time now of your vindication. You're going to start to see breakthrough in areas now. So you can turn around to the enemy and say, it's starting. I told you so. God said it was going to happen, and now it's starting to happen, and he's going to vindicate you. He's going to start to vindicate your prayers, your prophetic words, your declarations, your time of waiting. Vindication. And you know when those former rains fall on Israel? October. Isn't that amazing? October is the month where that rain of vindication starts to fall, swiftly followed then in the spring of the following year with the latter rain, the second rain for the crops. So I really believe, we believe again right across the world, we're coming into a shifting time in October, moving quickly now through November, December, into January, February, March, and this whole season now is coming upon us. Such of the like we've never seen before. It's the season where the plowman is going to overtake the reaper. The harvest is going to start to come in so quickly in God's plan as we align ourselves to this season that it's going to be like, we don't have enough room to contain this. And the plowman is going to overtake the reaper. We're starting to see the former rains come and the harvest, but we're collecting this harvest, and all of a sudden, new sowing and new reaping is coming in and overtaking that. It's going to be a season where nearly we can't keep up with the harvest. That's what God is saying for this decade we're coming into. Now, don't think of the word decade to think, oh, well, I've got 10 years, I'm okay. Think of it this, the Lord could come at any time in this season. And so wake up call to prepare our hearts, to realign ourselves with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So just reading through this prophetic passage of James. Again, as we've studied Isaiah and Joel in our prayer and fasting time, the former and the latter rains. You also be patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. You just put that up, Graham, so that's verse 7 through to the end of the passage of James chapter 5. And we're on verse 8 going into verse 9. Now here is a key. The season we've come out of, God is showing us what happened in that season, what brought about that season of dryness. It says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. For behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job, and we are coming out of the season of Job, of his sufferings, into the time of Job's restoration." And it says, you've heard of the perseverance of Job. God's lifting this up. We're seeing the time of Moses. I see represented in Job, Moses, the wilderness years. And the accusation that came against Job, remember, Job's comforters weren't comforters. They were, their eyes were darkened, but they were actually bringing accusation to Job. And there's been accusation in the body, leading to dryness and perseverance of Job, but you have seen the end intended by the Lord. So we're coming in now to the season that God has intended. He's always intended there's going to be a season of restoration. Hallelujah. And we know the end of the story of Job. It was restored doubly. Twofold restoration. Amen. But it was a dry season, a hard season. It was a season in which there was plagues. Everything was stolen. It was like going through a desert. All of the promises were just in the distance with Job. Even his own wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" That's how bad it got. With Moses, they were complaining against Moses, the servant of the Lord, because it was a time of grumbling, a time of complaining, a spirit of accusation. And when the enemy can bring that in to the body of Christ or to the world, it will always bring famine in the land. It will always bring dryness, and it will cause us to go round the wilderness again. And that spirit of accusation comes out of a heart of disbelief, that we don't believe the prophets. We don't believe the word God wants. So disbelief, Job's comforters didn't believe Job. They didn't believe the situation, and they believed their own opinion, and therefore they were bringing their own well-intended words, but they were actually words of accusation. Same with those that stood up against Moses. And we're coming out of that season. Praise God. Amen. So he's warning us, the season we're coming out of, don't grumble, because it created the situation of Job. But God's plan is this restoration. So above all, brethren, do not swear by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be your yes and let your no be your no. We're coming now into alignment of spirit and body. We're coming into alignment of spirit and truth, the word and the spirit. This season now is not going to be characterized by those that profess godliness, but their lifestyle is different. It's not going to be a season of those that have a lifestyle, seemingly, but their confession is bad. It works both ways. God is now realigning our confession, because it's a time of the mouth, the season of the mouth. God is going to say, let your yes, whatever your mouth says, let that be with a pure heart and let it line up with the Spirit. And whatever the Spirit says, let your mouth line up with it. So let your yes be your yes. And if the Spirit says a no, let it be a no. And let's confess and let's bring with our mouth into manifestation what God wants to bring to the church. Hallelujah. Is it? And then that brings revival with it. It brings refreshing. Look at the refreshing in the next few verses. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So we see rejoicing and repentance going together here. We see healing. We see refreshing. We see revival coming on these wings. And is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Amen. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another, because God is bringing us into a time of unity again. From disunity, from accusation, from slander, from pointing the finger. Look at Isaiah. Look at the scripture in Isaiah, where this, again, this great passage references to Isaiah 58. It says, "Is it in verse 6, is this not the fast that I've chosen?" And then it goes on to say in verse 9, here's how the yoke came in, the bondage came in. It says, if you take away the yoke from your midst, which is the pointing of the finger, and the speaking of wickedness. That's what brought, through disbelief, that's what brought the dryness. That's what took the children of Israel around the desert again. And we're coming out of that season. So hallelujah. What James is now saying in verse 16, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for each other that you will be healed. Hallelujah. We're coming into a time of unity as a church, of loving each other, praying for each other. And what does that bring? It brings in it with it the spirit of Elijah. It brings with it now the prophetic season that the Lord is going to bring. It says that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In verse 17, Elijah, hallelujah. So we're coming out of the days of Job into the days of Elijah. Amen. And Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, always makes room for the Lord. It prepares the way for the return of the Lord. Amen. And that's the power that's coming back to the church. That's the giftings that are coming back to the church. And it's for the purpose of the rains again. So Elijah says, with a man with a nature like ours, you and me, God wants to use you and me. This is not special people. God is using you. The gift that is in you is so needed right now. This is a time of wakening up the church. It's a trumpet call to wake you up, for you are needed for this time. Amen? And all of us, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, verse 18, and the heaven gave its rain. Hallelujah. And the earth produced its fruit. Amen. So this is a season where God is sending his former rain. It's already begun October. It's already in the spiritual realm raining upon us. And he's bringing us into this new season, this new decade of power, of harvest, of fruit. Amen. 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 And look at this, verse 19 and 20. Our call now to bring back the backsliders, to go and preach the gospel to those that are lost. It says, brethren, this is how the verse, the chapter ends up. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins, because the Lord is coming back soon. So the call that is on us now as a church is to go in all the world with the power of the Holy Spirit and refreshing and restoration and unity that's upon us, and preach the gospel to the backslider and to the unsaved and see them restored. Amen. For coming now is the time of harvest. Your loved ones, they're going to be saved in this season. The backsliders in your family that have wandered away are going to return in this season. But it's a work of the Spirit. It's the power of the Lord. And connected to the season as we close up, connected to this season is everything. So again, thinking not strange that it, as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Property is connected to this season. Properties and expansion is connected to this season. Think as well as the trumpet call, and the first act that the children of Israel did when they went into Jericho was they went to the walled city and they blew the trumpet and the walls of that city came down and they took the city. This is a time of the prophetic going before us, the trumpet call. It's a time now to go and inherit the land. Amen? So spiritual inheritance and natural inheritance are connected with this in Jesus' name. So it is an awesome time. It's a time of going forward. It's a time of the mouth. God calls those things which are not as though they are, as though they were. Hallelujah. He brings the death back to life. That same scripture in Romans 4:17, God brings the death back to life first and then calls those things which are not as though they were. Amen. So this is the season. The season of death is over. The season of wasting. The season of desolation. The season of destruction. What the enemy has stolen has to be restored sevenfold. Amen. Joel says he's going to restore even the years that the locust has destroyed and the worm has eaten. How many need years restored to your life? Amen. Years. We're talking about years. But it all has to happen. It's going to happen in such a short time. The window of time is short. And I'm going to finish with this. What shook me again to realize how short time is. There was a prophet from Ireland, we'll all recognize the name, called St. Malachy. Anybody heard of St. Malachy? Well, St. Malachy And I'm just using this as an example because there are many. And our greatest example is the Word, okay? I'm just giving you a practical example of a man. So Malachi, these were men of God in the ilk of St. Patrick, where I believe with all our heart that there was a great move of God in those days. They were closer to the Bible days than they were to us, because it was 500 AD and those that St. Patrick lived in. And St. Malachi, one of those disciples, had a vision of God. And God showed him every single pope that was going to sit from his time to the end time. And what is astounding to me in that prophetic word, he wrote it out. And the names of every pope are exactly came to pass right up to today, according to St. Malachi's prophecy. Anybody heard of this? Whew. Wow. Well, St. Malachi's prophecy, he said that there will only be two more popes from the time of Pope John Paul II. Think of it. Think of the days we're living in. The Pope that took over from John Paul, you remember, a few years ago, he had to give up early for his health. So therefore, the Pope that's sitting now is the last Pope on St. Malachi's list. And then the end will come. Now that shocked me. That is amazing, but we know it. We shouldn't be shocked because the Bible has always said this. So if the Pope that now is, and remember, every name on that list happened according to how it's written, so we've no reason to disbelieve that this is the last Pope, and even his name is written. If this is the last Pope that is sitting, how many years do we have in which his lifetime the rapture is going to happen? So don't even think it's going to come to the end of his reign. It's going to be within his reign that the rapture takes place. Isn't that amazing? Whew. Time is short. So when God is going to restore the years, don't think that you've got years. What that means is he's going to restore the harvest of those years so much so that you can't contain it. It's going to overflow in a short season what would have taken 7 years to build. Amen? That's the times we're living in. Amen. So as we close this morning, just be awakened. Be refreshed. Starting October is the shifting time. It's already been released in the heavens. So even though your heart might not feel it yet, scriptures that say that when the former and the latter rains come, God will revive us after 2 days, and the third day he will catch us up. There's a timing. There's a three-day timing of what takes place for what's released in the spiritual realm, heavenly realms. It has to get through the second, first and second heavens. By the time it reaches the earth, there's a physical delay, but it will surely come to pass. 3 days. Jesus said, look at Jesus himself when he was crucified and he died. How long did it take? The moment Jesus yielded up his spirit on the cross, what did God say? It is. But he rose after 3 days. So it is finished. The answer left heaven. And after 3 days, it reached the earth. Amen? And those 3 days can be literal 3 days, but also spiritual significance to it. There's a time. So therefore, don't think that I don't feel it. October, it's already released. This sound is already going out around the earth. And I encourage you now, go and listen to what across the earth the apostles and the prophets are saying. Because this is the time. Amen? Hallelujah. Press in. Cut those things off that are the elastic bands that are holding you back. Prayer with fasting is your key. It's not a bondage thing. It's something that you love to do because you know it's right. It's hard, but cut it off so that you can enter the promise and the fullness that God has for us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's kind of culminates in the words that have been spoken through this week of prayer and fasting. And remember, this is a season that the Lord is bringing his church into it. Our prayer and fasting hasn't just stopped. Let it be a lifestyle in our life. Let it be a lifestyle in our homes.
Let it be a lifestyle in our church. But God
is doing wondrous things.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.